Please turn to 1 John chapter 2, and for a little while this evening we want to concentrate on the information that is given to us in verses 7 through 11. So let's begin by reading these verses together. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Remember that as John wrote this letter, he dealt at length with the matter of having fellowship with God. There are some very important points of information revealed in chapter 1 on that very subject. As a matter of fact, John began his letter in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, by showing that Jesus came in the flesh as the Son of God so that we can have fellowship with him and the Father. And that's some very good news. John said in verse 4 of chapter 1 that he wrote that so that our joy may be full. I thought it was interesting that last Sunday we pointed out Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you that your joy may be full." John heard those things, and now he says, "I'm writing these things so that your joy may be full." Almost word for word what the Lord said. Now, the Lord referred to the things that he spoke. John referred to the things that he wrote. So John began by presenting some very good news. Because Jesus came in the flesh as the Son of God, we're able to have fellowship with him as well as with the Father. But John went on to show that having fellowship with God is conditional. Now, Jesus made it possible for us to have fellowship with him and with the Father, but this matter of having fellowship with God is conditional. We pointed out from verses 5 through 7 of chapter 1 that we must walk in the light as God is in the light. That's a very important condition. But then we pointed out in verses 8, 9, and 10 of chapter 1 that we must confess our sins. That's another important condition that we must comply with in order to enjoy having fellowship with the Father. Now, thankfully, this brings us to chapter 2. Jesus makes it possible for us to remain in fellowship with God. Jesus made it possible for us to have fellowship with the Father, but he also makes it possible for us to continue to have fellowship with the Father. We learn from verse 1 of chapter 2 that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Now, John said, "I'm writing these things so that you might not sin," but we do sin. And consequently, we need to rejoice over the fact that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Furthermore, in verse 2 of chapter 2, he is the propitiation for our sins. So these are some conditions that we must comply with in order to have fellowship with the Father. But then we pointed out last week in verses 3 through 6 of chapter 2 that we must keep the Lord's commandments and we must walk as Christ walked. Now, once again, these are conditions that we must comply with in order to have fellowship with the Father. Now, in the verses that we're covering this evening in chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, John dealt with one more commandment, one particular commandment, that we must obey in order to have fellowship with God. So this is another condition that we must meet in order to have fellowship with the Father. Let's look at verses 7 and 8 of chapter 2. And John identified the commandment that he was dealing with. And he identified it in two different ways. But there's no mistaking what the commandment is. John first identified this commandment in verse 7 as an old commandment. Now, how is it old? John described what he meant, or explained what he meant. This is an old commandment in that God's people have had it from the beginning. But he went on to say that it's old in another sense. It's old in that God's people have heard it from the beginning. So this commandment has been around for a long, long time. God's people have had it from the beginning, and God's people have heard it from the beginning. Let's look at a few verses that identify this old commandment. Look at chapter 3 and verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And in 2 John, verse 5, same writer, says, And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is a commandment that's been around for a long, long time, that God's people are to love one another. Let's look at an Old Testament reference where that command was actually given. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19 and read verses 17 and 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. Of course, this was Moses writing to the children of Israel. He said, Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. God's people have had this commandment for a long, long time. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what did Jesus consider that commandment to be? Matthew 22, he was asked to identify the great commandment in the law, and he did so. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said this was the second great commandment of all. So this commandment that John is dealing with, and remember, this is a condition for having fellowship with God. It's been around for a long, long time. God's people have heard it from the beginning. They've had it from the beginning. It's been identified for us. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then we go back to 1 John chapter 2 and we see that John refers to this as a new commandment. He first dealt with an old commandment and then he turned his attention to a new commandment. Let's read verse 8 again. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. What is this new commandment? God's people are to love one another. This is the love that was commanded by Christ. Let's look at several verses, several statements that the Lord made to his disciples shortly before he was arrested and tried, condemned, and crucified. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you. Isn't it interesting that Jesus referred to this as a new commandment? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now Jesus referred to his commandment as new. But earlier in his ministry, Jesus identified love your neighbor as yourself as the second great commandment. He was quoting from Leviticus chapter 19. What's new about the Lord's commandment? He said that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, did Moses write that in his commandment? No, he did not, but Jesus did include it in his commandment. And he went on to say that the Lord's people are to be identified as such because of the love that we have for one another. Look also at John 15, verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How much did the Lord love us? Well, he gave himself on our behalf. This particular love is dealt with many times in the New Testament. And let's notice how it's described in 1 Corinthians 13. This is the great love chapter of the Bible. Let's notice about 15 characteristics of this kind of love. I think if you'll take the time to list them out, you might find that there are 8 and 7. 8 negative characteristics, 7 positive. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's a beautiful description of the love that the Lord commanded us to have for love for one another. And John referred to that as a new commandment in his letter. So we need to remember the conditions that John gave for having fellowship with God and see how this ties in. We must walk in the light as God is in the light. We must confess our sins. We must keep the Lord's commandments. And we must walk as Christ walked. Now, those are some important conditions that we must meet in order to have fellowship with the Father. Now, on the basis of those conditions, John went on to point out that our response to this new commandment will determine whether we have fellowship with God. Now, he dealt with that in verses 9, 10, and 11. Let's notice some expressions that he used. Keep in mind how he's already used them. And in the general context, he's pointing out various conditions that we must comply with in order to have fellowship with the Father. Look at verse 10, 1 John 2. John said that someone who loves his brother abides in the light. Well, that's another way of saying that he has fellowship with God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Someone who abides in the light has fellowship with God. And in order to abide in the light, we must love our brethren. Keep in mind that one who loves his brother is obeying the Lord's command. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." That's a command of the Lord, to love one another. In order to have fellowship with the Father, we must walk as Christ walked. We must obey the Lord's commands. Well, we know what the Lord's command was. Now, he gave many more commands, but we're concerned about this matter of loving one another this evening. The Lord commanded his followers to love one another. When we obey that command, we're meeting one of the conditions for having fellowship with God. But also, we're walking as Christ walked. And we've already pointed out from chapter 2 and verse 6 that in order to have fellowship with the Father, we must walk as Christ walked. Well, exactly how did Christ walk? Well, that's a good question. It's answered in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, this verse gives us a command, but I want you to notice who is mentioned and what is mentioned in connection with him. Let's actually read verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. How did Christ walk? Well, he walked in love, didn't he? In order to have fellowship with God, we must walk as Christ walked. How did he walk? We just pointed out he walked in love. That's another way of saying that in order to have fellowship with God, we must obey this command to love one another. Now, John tied in something else with this matter of obeying this command. He said that there is no occasion of stumbling in such a person, that is, one who loves his brother. Now, think about that from two different angles. For one thing, he won't stumble himself. But number two, he won't cause others to stumble. So John says there's no occasion of stumbling in him. Well, that relates to personal matters, but it also relates to matters involving other people. When we obey this command, there's no occasion of stumbling in us. We won't stumble ourselves. Also, we won't cause others to stumble. Now remember, we're showing in verses 9, 10, and 11 that the way we respond to this new commandment is going to determine whether we have fellowship with God. John said in verse 10 that someone who loves his brother abides in the light. Well, we must certainly abide in the light to have fellowship with the Father. Let's look at the other side of that. What about a person who hates his brother? John says he's in darkness. Now that's another way of saying that he has no fellowship with God. Now how can we tie that in? John already showed in chapter 1 and verse 5 that there's no darkness at all in God. He also showed in verse 6 of chapter 1 that it's not possible to have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. But one who hates his brother is in darkness. That's another way of saying that he can't have fellowship with God. Furthermore, one who hates his brother is disobeying the Lord's command and is not walking as Christ walked. Do you see how all of these conditions tie together and John is dealing with them in more detail? Now, I think it's interesting that in Titus 3, in verse 3, it's pointed out that hatred is associated with non-Christians. Let's look at that verse, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Now, right after these verses, Paul, writing to Titus, showed how it is that we can be forgiven. But in verse 3 of chapter 3, he pointed out some activities of people before becoming Christians. He says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, the hatred that John is dealing with in his letter is an activity of non-Christians. Now, thankfully, we can be forgiven of that. But suppose a person has hatred for a brother or sister in his heart. Let's let John show us just how serious that is. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, this verse is very much to the point. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You know, that's pretty plain, isn't it? I think we can understand it. I can remember about 8 years, no, not quite 8 years ago. It's been about 6 years ago, I guess it was. It was a follow-up visit with my orthopedic doctor after he did hip surgery. He wanted to check on it one more time. And my blood pressure had been high. And he had been on to me to do something about that for a long time. He had tried to encourage me. He tried being nice. He tried pleading with me. And I kept putting it off. Finally, I think he realized he needed to use another tactic. He said, "Mr. Sig, I'd hate to think that I gave you a new hip and you're doing so well, and then you're going to die from a heart attack or a stroke." I thought, you know, I believe I can understand that. He laid it on the line. I said, "Okay, recommend me a doctor." And he did, and I went to see him, and he got my blood pressure under control. Sometimes we just need to be to the point. That's what John does. He doesn't beat around the bush. He said, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." That's plain, isn't it? That's very much to the point. That just illustrates how serious this matter of hatred is. Also look at chapter 4 in verse 20. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Now, on the one hand, we've got a murderer. On the other hand, we've got a liar. Do you want to be around either one of them? And neither one can have fellowship with God. Now, what's John actually writing about? He's talking about hatred for a brother or a sister. This is a serious matter. And I'm concerned that in our society today, there is an abundance of hatred. You know that as well as I do. It shouldn't be, but that's the way that it is. Now, the reason why I mention that is we're to have a positive influence on the world, but if we're not careful, the world can influence us because we're in the world. But remember, the Bible teaches us that we're not to be of the world. But I learned a long time ago that we can be easily influenced by the world if we don't keep our guard up all the time and be mindful of these spiritual principles. Hatred is widespread today. It shouldn't be, but that's the way that it is. Well, hatred in Christianity is a serious matter. Well, to have fellowship with God, we must love our brothers and our sisters. You can't have fellowship with God and hate a brother or a sister. Now, that's what John taught us in these verses. Remember, he's giving us some good news. Jesus made it possible for us to have fellowship with him and the Father. That doesn't happen by accident. There are conditions that we must meet in order to have fellowship with the Father. One of those conditions is we must love one another as the Lord has loved us. You know, if everybody would just practice the second commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, this whole world would be a lot better place, wouldn't it? The practical explanation of that is treat others the way that you want to be treated. We call that the golden rule, Matthew 7 and verse 12. Well, today people want to close the Bible and not pay any attention to it. But the Bible has all the answers to our difficulties, and it gives us all the ways to deal with them and make corrections. God, help us to always remember what John wrote in these verses. In order to have fellowship, now there are several conditions. We're covering them. But the particular condition that we've looked at in these verses is that in order to have fellowship with the Father, we must love one another.